Okay, do you enjoy your job and why?
Probably if you would have asked me that last year, I would have said no. But being the first year was a rough year. But yes, I do enjoy the job. It's a very challenging job. It keeps you on the go all the time. It's stressful at times. And you sometimes wonder whether or not that's what you really want to do for a long period of time. I guess I enjoy it, even though there are times when you have to do things to students that you don't want to have to do, but you know, for the benefit of the school and as a teaching factor, there are things you have to do. These are the tough things, but the rewarding thing is seeing young people get an education and seeing teachers help, let's say, work one-on-one with those students that need that help. Teachers staying after school to work with those students who, in other words, might fall through the cracks and may not make it. It's rewarding on graduation night to have a young person or a parent to come to you and hug you and to thank you for all of the efforts that you put forward to get their child through school and to have a young person who's graduated from your school and who is getting ready to graduate from college and come to you and thank you because of your concern and your compassion and your wanting to see them get ahead, just say thank you for, you know, what you've done or that I've learned a lot from you. Things like that make all of the tough times appreciated, and it gives you that little extra boost to go on and tackle the next year. When I took the job, I told the superintendent I did not want the job for a long period of time, that maybe 3 or 4 years, 5 years at the most. But, you know, I look at it, this is my second year, and I'm learning more as I go along, and the years are coming and going so fast that probably by the time I say I'm ready to get out, it'll be time for me to retire. So yes, I'm enjoying it. It's a good experience, and to go to the various communities and into the churches and into the students' homes and talk with them and the parents and to see parents in Norfolk or Virginia Beach or somewhere, you may not know them, they know you, and they walk up to you and speak to you and shake your hand. So it's a good feeling. It's almost sometimes, as the superintendent told me, he said, you're almost like a celebrity sometimes. and yes, sometimes you can be very much hated also.
What do you consider the major problem of your principalship?
My major problem, and maybe it's not a problem, but it's curriculum needs and keeping up with curriculum. The various programs that the state is mandating, and especially for a small school with the programs that the state is mandating, funding is a problem. Many times the state will fund it. They will only fund it for 2 or 3 years, and then local funders have to take over. Or when they mandate programs, that means new facilities, which small schools many times cannot afford to add on facilities. It's a challenge and a struggle trying to keep up with the mandates, find the facilities, find the funds to keep them going. And probably the biggest problem is keeping the faculty motivated to the various changes and new programs. And we're dealing with one right now. We just came through Senate Bill 2 last year, and If you can imagine a brand new principal having to deal with Senate Bill 2, that was a nightmare. And now this year we're working on tech prep, mm-hmm. which we will hopefully get on board next year. We're hoping to add the business strand of tech prep, and then the year after next, the health occupations, and the year after that, electronics. So many people are fearful of this because many people in the vocational department see tech prep as pushing them out of a job. And the biggest headache that I'm going through right now is trying to convince those people that we're not pushing them out of a job, but what we're going to have to do is redirect them. And for many of them will mean additional training. So it's very fearful, especially when many of them have been teaching 20 or 25 years and they're looking at possibly being out of a job. Trying to reassure them that that is not what we're trying to do, and trying to get teachers as well as students to see that we're in the technology age and that we in our schools need to change our curriculum to keep up with the changing society. And spending quite a bit of money on staff development, trying to motivate teachers and change attitudes. So to me, that's my biggest problem right now.
What do you consider the most rewarding about your principalship?
I guess the most rewarding, I guess I've always worked with people and I've always enjoyed working with people, but I guess as the boss, I many times have to sit down and talk with people more about in-depth things, about problems they may be having either in the classroom or personal problems. I guess so the most rewarding thing is that I get to know more about the people that I'm working with, and seeing them open up to me and become more comfortable around me and having confidence and trust in me that the things that we say to each other are kept between us, and that they are willing to come to me and sit down and talk about the problems that they have. And I guess the most ironic thing is the weaknesses that they have, being willing to say to the principal, this is one of my weaknesses, and can you help me with it, or what can I do to make this better? And that's very hard for a lot of people to do, to admit their weaknesses. And you know, I conveying them that I have weaknesses also, and that I have to work constantly on my weaknesses to improve also. And I try to let them know that it's not a sin to make a mistake. A lot of teachers are fearful of making mistakes, and I try to tell them there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. We all make mistakes. You know, we make the mistakes and we pick up and we go on from there. We try to correct the mistakes, and hopefully we won't make the same one too many times. And I guess it's an experience that I did not think that I would ever have. And it's just been a pleasure. So all the hard work of going to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and sometimes getting home at 6 or 7 and many nights at 12 and 1 when you stay there for a basketball game or you have a dance and the students beg to let them have a dance and you stay there and you help chaperone, you get home at 1 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, I feel that's what I'm there for, to help and to be, even though I don't live in that community, but I have to do things to let the people know that I'm still a part of them, even though I sleep here, I spend more time mm-hmm. in Curitiba than I do here. And they appreciate it. I had a parent to call me today, and she's called me 3 times to thank me. Good kid. I'm an A student, got with the wrong group and got into some trouble. And she called me and asked me if I would write a letter to the court, and I did, and I just happened to know the judge, and I talked with the judge, and she stated that because of my letter and talking with the judge that her son got off with a warning, and she called 3 times to let me know how things went, and that she just thanked me for what I did and the fact that I didn't have to do it. And but, you know, I told her, you know, that's a part of my job. That's what I'm there for. And, you know, if someone had not helped me when I was at that point, you know, I could be someplace else other than where I am now. So. I guess the whole thing is just letting people in the community know that I'm human. I sometimes think that people look at principles different. They look at them as being infallible, superhuman, insensitive many times, but I go out of my way to let them know that, you know, principles are that we feel for people, and we make mistakes, we're infallible, and that we're just like everyone else, and our children give us headaches also. and I think when you let them know things like that, you and people in the community come closer, and many times when students do get in trouble, it's easier to talk with parents. And I guess one thing I'm confronted with now, a lot of the kids that I'm dealing with, I taught their parents.
Mm.
And that makes it a lot easier, because I can go to that kid, I said, okay, you know, I know your mother and father, you know, I can call them, or I can ride down the road and talk to them. So little things like that keep them in line many times.
Well, I told you I was interviewing principals from 1964 and 89. Mm-hmm. Back in 64, there were over 200 black high school principals. When I asked Raleigh to send me a list, mm-hmm. in 89, they sent me a list of 41. And of that 41, some of them are principals of alternative schools.
Yes.
So that means they're less than 40.
Right.
So you're one of a rare breed in the state of North Carolina. If you knew of a young black person, male or female, mm-hmm. that aspired to be a high school principal in the state of North mm-hmm. Carolina, what kind of advice would you give that person?
Well, you know, I've had to give that advice probably 3 times. I've had 3 students that have gone on to college, and my son is one of them, my oldest son, who's a senior in college this year. They have come to me and they've said, you know, I want to be like you. And I've asked them, why do you want to be like me? They said, well, you're a high school principal, you're a black high school principal, which is a rarity. And they've also said that we want to be like you because everyone seems to like you. I said, well, yeah, we'll take a give of you. They said, you're respected. We see the respect that you get here at school. We see the respect that you get in this community and in your community, and people look up to you. And some have even said the material things that you have. And the thing that I have told the 3 students is that hard work is a large part of it. Making the best grades that you possibly can in high school, doing well in college, and I guess the number one thing is making sure that is what you want, not because that you see that I'm a black principal and I'm, let's say, pretty successful, but you have to make sure that's what you want. The way you perceive the job may not really be the way it is. And I tried to sit down with all of them, especially my son. He sees the many frustrations that I have to go through many times when trying to institute a new program and it doesn't go quite right. You've had a bad day because some parents weren't satisfied with what you've done. But I've just told them, and being honest with them many times is being in the right place at the right time. But I think for me, probably one or two of the major things is being able to deal with people, being able to work with people, no matter who they are, what color, being able to deal with people honestly, I guess I'm at a loss of words, but just being able to work with people and letting people know that you're willing to work hard, always go that extra step. When I was a teacher or assistant principal, there were things that needed to be done. The principal didn't necessarily tell me to do it, but I saw that there were things that needed to be done, and I guess I had enough initiative to do those things without being told. Many times I did extra things without looking for pay or looking for a pat on the back or warm fuzzy. Just doing it because I wanted to do it and because I felt what I was doing was helping someone. And I guess that's always the advice I've given those people that wanted to be there.
Do you think that a black person has to have a so-called sponsor of the other culture?
Oh, most definitely. No doubt about it. And I've seen black administrators lose out because they were not willing to associate with people of the opposite race as far as political functions, social functions. All of those are little things that sort of give you a little nudge up the ladder. Really, to me, whether you're black or white, I think that is a part of the game, as many of us call it. And being in a county with the population of blacks so few, you know, when you associate with people of the opposite race, or when you go to functions that operas, musicals, or things like that sometimes many of our race do not readily attend, then sometimes you're ostracized by your own race. And you sometimes, and as I tell my son and most students who aspire to be black administrators, these are times that you make up your mind that's what you want to do, and do the things that you feel that are going to get you where you want to go. And I'm very cautious in telling them, you know, you don't step on people going up the ladder. You always treat people with respect and with dignity, because, you know, you can be a principal or superintendent one day and you can be down at the bottom rung again. So, you know, you have to be very careful. And I don't think you have to lie, cheat, steal to get these things, but I think it's just being honest with people and knowing what you want and willing to work hard to get those things, and maybe willing to broaden your horizons as far as social functions and different things that you want to get involved in, to, as we say, get to know the right people to get you to help to get you where you want to go. That's a part of life.
Well, we've come to the end of my interview guide, and I want to thank you again for sharing with me. This has been quite interesting. I can see why your teachers would come to you and share with you. You have a manner about you and a bit of charisma, that the mild manner, well, and the openness lends itself to
sharing. It does, and I guess that has been the rewarding thing. And in my school, we're small. We have a lot of people. Very religious community. And I guess several years ago, I guess I shocked most of them. And I was just My son graduated in 87, so it's been class of 86. I was asked to be the baccalaureate speech, give the baccalaureate speech. And I guess I developed such a relationship with the students that they would not accept anyone else to be the speaker other than myself. And I was a little out there nervous because I'd never spoken to that type of group before, but I did, and it was very rewarding. And I guess having the religious background and sort of looking towards being in the pulpit, I guess I delivered a sermon, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were very shocked and surprised and happy to know of my religious background and my work in the church, and that has helped tremendously. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people feel that, you know, truly someone that believes in God and who's a deacon in the church and who works very well in the church and commits a lot of time to his church can't be all bad. Mm-hmm. And I guess since then I've probably been around to quite a few of the churches in the county, speaking black and white. Mm-hmm. Often invited, and I'm speaking at a youth day service next Sunday at one of the white churches in the county. And I feel that probably has been my biggest PR as a principal, being able to go into the community and the churches and talk with the parents and through my speaking, let them know what type of person I am and what type of school that I want, and that we try to keep out the drug dealers and those people that are there to create problems, not to get an education, and that I want to create a school environment that is conducive to their child's learning, because I want them to have the best education possible. So they can relate very well with that, and I'm getting very good response.
That's very good. Thanks again.
Sure, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
And pleasure.
I'll get a transcript back to you once it's transcribed, okay. And then you can go through it and see if you need to make any.
You can do it. We know you. We got faith in you. Mm-hmm. We trust you. And things like that. And since, you know, I've had the job, I haven't stopped praying. Mm-hmm. I still stay on my knees.
I know you have
because you have to.
You have to. And you walk those halls,
yes.
And you plead the blood when you walk the halls.
Indeed.
I know.
That is true.
You have to. Because there's so many demonic spirits out now.
Yes.
And the children are, some of them are demon possessed.
Oh,
and
sure.
you have to pray for them,
you
and you know that these are little lives and they have so much potential.
Mm-hmm. And I look at